Scripture reading for tonight's lesson will be from Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 7 through 10. And if you're following along with one of the Bibles under your seats, it's found on page 926. That's Luke 17, 7 through 10. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.
There was a very popular song we used to sing when I was a teenager. And it was entitled, Make Me a Servant. You have no doubt participated in that song before. And you're familiar with the words, Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you. Make me a servant. Lord, do what you must do. Make me a servant. Make me like you. I think certainly when we look at the life of Jesus, we can all agree that Jesus was a servant. He was many things, but he certainly was a servant. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus makes it very clear that the Son of Man has not come to be served, but rather to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was a servant. Let me ask you something. Why do servants serve, though? Why do they do it? You know, when we consider the life of Jesus, I want us to just briefly tonight look at three reasons why servants serve. And I think there are some examples in the Scriptures that will help us answer this question or understand why servants serve. First of all, I'm going to suggest to you the reason that servants serve is because it is out of gratitude. We know what gratitude is, don't we? It's being grateful. Gratitude is being thankful for someone or something. You remember there in Luke chapter 7 when Jesus was the invited guest of a very self-righteous Pharisee. Most of them were. Simon. He entered into his home, and there was a woman that we are told that she was a sinner. Luke emphasizes that. He points that out. She comes in, she barges in to Simon's home, and she begins to emotionally get caught up into the fact that Jesus was there. She begins to cry. She's sobbing. She is literally taking her hair and wiping Jesus' feet with the tears that fall from her eyes. She's doting over him, and we know what kind of woman she was, because Simon himself, he begins to think, if he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't let her do this. Jesus, knowing what he knew, or what he thought he knew, Jesus knowing his thoughts, you remember that story, and I just want to pick up there in Luke chapter 7 and let Jesus tell us what he says to Simon. In verse 40, Jesus answered and he said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. This is not Simon says, this is Jesus says. He says, teacher, say it. He says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Now tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? You have to lock in on that parable, because that is the lesson that Jesus is conveying here, why this woman is doing what she's doing. So, he didn't need to think about it long, Simon didn't. You didn't even have to be halfway intelligent to figure this one out, 500 versus 50. I'd say the one that loved him more and was grateful the most was the one that owned 500. Jesus tells him here in verse 43, he says, you've rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with the tears, her tears, and she's wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with a fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little was forgiven, the same loves little. Let's just stop here for just a moment. Why did she do what she did? Jesus is emphasizing the fact that she had been forgiven of much. Go back to the parable that Jesus was trying to convey. 500 versus 50 denarii. Which do you think will be most grateful, gracious? That's why she served Jesus the way that she did. You compare her acts of service and kindness to Simon's. Why didn't Simon serve? Why didn't Simon serve like that? You know, Jesus mildly rebuked him. He says, I entered into your house. You weren't a very good host. You never gave me a kiss. You never did the things that were customary for a guest when they enter into a home. But this woman, she's gone above and beyond. You see, why didn't Simon serve? Folks, the answer to that question is, he had nothing to be grateful for. He didn't feel like he had anything to be grateful for. She had everything to be grateful for. You have forgiven me of my sins. My sins are enormous. She knew everybody was talking about her. She knew how everybody, that look that everybody gave her, her reputation was well known. That's why Luke says she was a sinner. That's why Simon reasoned. If this man knew what kind of woman this was, he'd be staying away from her. He'd avoid her. But yet, here is a woman that has a second chance. He's given me a second chance. He's forgiven me of my sins. And I serve him out of gratitude because of what he has done for me. Friends, I have a hunch, and the hunch is this, that the greatest servants are the most grateful servants. Now you simmer with that for a moment. That the greatest servants are the most grateful servants. The worst kind of servants, because there's good servants and there's bad servants, are the ones that are not grateful. The ones that serve and do out of necessity. Instead of out of love. No wonder Paul said what he did when it comes to the contribution. Be a cheerful giver, you see. Don't be the type of giver that gives in a begrudging way. Here, just take it. Oh boy, You get ready for your blessing from God, let me tell you. The greatest servants are the most grateful servants. They understand who they were. They understand where they were. They understood and understand what ultimately their destiny, their future is without Jesus in their life. And when we come to terms with that, when we wrap our minds around the fact that, man, I have nothing, I am nothing without God, without God's sacrifice, without Jesus Christ in my life, I have no hope of heaven. I'll tell you what, one of the greatest things that defeats a person is you take away their hope. There's no hope. God gives us hope through Jesus Christ. And when we have that hope and we understand, I have a second chance here. I have another chance. I'm grateful for that. The analogy sometimes I've used in the past of, and I use this out of a very real scenario that happened to me. Myself and some friends had gone swimming at a strip mine. My mom, I remember as a kid, my mom always telling me, we drive by the strip mine, she said, stay away from those things. Because it wasn't uncommon that you would read in the newspaper, you would see on the news, you would hear some kid swimming and drowning. And I had almost a real life experience with that. Strip mines near Athens, Ohio, by Ohio University. Some friends of mine were freshmen in college at that time. And met up with Jeff Leach, was his name, or is his name. Jeff's brother Todd was there, and there was a strip mine, and we decided we're going to go swimming. And I remember I had no breakfast that morning. I was already fatigued, and my side developed some cramps, and I couldn't swim any longer. I was done. I just cramped up to the point that that's it. Maybe you've been there before where you're sinking, and you look down, and it's all black, and you look up, and you can barely see light, but it's kind of a green color, and you're taking in water. And all of a sudden, someone grabs me around the wrist and yanks me up, pulls me over to the bank, and I lay on that bank just spitting water out like crazy and just trying to catch my breath. The individual who saved my life that day was Todd Leach. I'll never forget his name. I'll never forget what he did. I, to this day, feel indebted to him. And I'm grateful for what he did. You see, we serve out of gratitude. When we understand that we are sinking spiritually, when we have no hope, we can't save ourselves. And much like when Peter was sinking, Jesus pulls us up, and he saves us. Brethren, how could we not serve? Let me ask you that. It is hard for me to wrap my mind around this, how people serve in a begrudging way when you see what God has done for you, when you see what Jesus has done for you. And it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. Servants serve because of gratitude. Two, you know, servants serve because of duty. As Jim was reading for us tonight, and we remain in this book of Luke, in Luke chapter 7, it's an interesting story that Jesus shares with us here, and he's conveying his status and his relationship with his disciples. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 17 rather, in verse 7, we have this servant who is given some orders. He's issued by his master to go do certain things. He says, which of you having a servant plowing and tending sheep will say to him, come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will we not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself, serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he does these things or that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all the things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. After reading this, one may question God's love for them. What? God, do you really love me? Do you really care about me? Doesn't God appreciate me? Doesn't God care about me? Doesn't God value me? The answer to those questions is absolutely. God does love you. He does care about you. He does value you. But friends, this has nothing to do with how much God values us, how much God loves us, how much God appreciates us. This has everything to do with our place with God as servants. We are servants. We are grateful servants. Unlike the Pharisees and the lawyers in Jesus' day who felt as if God was pretty lucky to have them on His side, not so with us. Not so with us. You see, God doesn't need anything. Did you know that? God gives everything. God is the giver of everything. But God doesn't need anything. But I will tell you this. God does want us. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to be saved from our sins. He wants us to serve Him and to certainly serve others. Some of you were not here when Larry Drawn returned back from the Middle East with lost limbs. When Larry came back, to his surprise, we had a hero's welcome for him in Fairborn. The mayor was there. Politicians were politicking there. The band was there. Friends were there. Neighbors were there. Family was there. It was a big celebration. A big welcome home. Larry was entirely caught off guard with what was going on. And when he got out of the van, I remember the emotion on his face and the tears that ran down his face. And some of you, maybe perhaps a lot of you, were there that day. And he was at a loss for words. He didn't even have an opportunity, Jim, to prepare speech. He was just speaking from the heart. And I remember him saying, I was only doing my job. I was only doing my job. And I wasn't expecting any of this. I think that's what Jesus is trying to convey here. Is the fact that we're just doing our job as Christians. We're just We're doing that which is, yes, required of us, but we are duty-bound to do it. And unlike the Pharisees, unlike the religious elite in Jesus' day that lost track and lost sight of the fact of their status and their standing with God, perhaps they felt as if, God, you owe me some special favor here for all I'm doing for you. And I'm here to tell you, what you do deserve, because you're a sinner, is hell. And you need to be grateful and thankful to God that He saved you from the devil's hell. So if we're getting into this, what I deserve, and what is becoming of me, I'm not so sure that's an argument that's going to stand before God. Because what we deserve is hell. But servants serve because we're duty-bound. Third, servants serve because they want to please their master. Servants serve because they want to please their master. Luke also shares with us another reason why these servants serve, to please their master. Do you realize that, again, as we alluded to this morning, when Jesus was baptized in Luke chapter 3, in verses 21 and 22. Listen carefully as Luke depicts this for us in chapter 3. He says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and in you I'm well pleased. God was pleased with what Jesus did. Why did he do it? Was it for forgiveness of sins? Absolutely not. Was it an outward showing of an inward faith? No. You'll never see that formula anywhere mentioned in the Scriptures. Sounds easy to say. It sounds appealing, doesn't it? But it's not scripturally accurate. Do you know why he did it? Friends, he did it because that's what the Father wanted him to do. And God was pleased with it. God was pleased with it. Friends, God is just as pleased with us when we make it our aim to please Him. You know, this was one of the things the Apostle Paul was wanting honest-to-goodness slaves to understand in the first century. He is able to take a real-life scenario, a real-life situation with slave owners and slaves, and spiritualize it. One of the passages that comes to mind is back in Titus in chapter 2. Verse 9, Paul says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Did you catch that? You see, this is out of the box, isn't it? Because slaves have a tendency to resent the fact that they're slaves. And with evil hearts, evil minds, evil motives, come evil actions. And Paul's saying, don't be that way. Don't answer back. Show all good fidelity. Be like Jesus, if you would. Is there any benefit in that? Well, wait a minute. Let's run over to Colossians. Because when Paul was talking to those bondservants there in Colossians in chapter 3, in verse 22, he says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You see, by these slaves serving their earthly masters to be fully pleasing to them, unto them, they were actually fully pleasing their heavenly master. That's what Paul is saying. You need to think of it like this, slaves. You don't only have an earthly master, you have a heavenly master. And oh, by the way, earthly masters have never seen servants serve like this. Most servants resent their masters. Most servants despise their masters. Most servants look for opportunities to be cruel and unkind to their masters. But not you. You see, these earthly masters want to know, because you don't serve that way. You're different. Why are you different? Paul's motive was this. When they see something different in you, they're going to want to know, why are you not behaving like these servants over here? The answer to that question is, so you can also lead them to the Heavenly Master. Interesting book Philemon is. That's what that's all about. A slave and a slave owner, Philemon, Onesimus, in their relationship with one another, in relationship with God. That's what that's all about. I love how Paul ends that book, because he tells that slave owner to not look at his slave as just your slave. You look at him like a brother in Jesus Christ. Because that's what you are. Well, that changes things now, doesn't it? So, servants serve, folks, because they want to please their master. I want to be pleasing to God. Don't you want to be pleasing to God? And I know that I serve out of gratitude. It's interesting, because there in Luke chapter 17, when we're talking about the duty, the second point of the servant, we're duty bound. Isn't it interesting, because right after that, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. He's passing through the region of Samaria and Galilee, and there were 10 lepers who were crying out to Jesus for a healing. Did Jesus heal him? Absolutely. And they all came back and thanked him, didn't they? No. But one did. This foreigner, Jesus said, this Samaritan. You know what that tells me? That whole story tells me that God wants to be thanked. God wants to be thanked. Don't just assume that God knows you're thankful. Tell Him you're thankful. So servants serve out of gratitude. They serve because they're duty-bound. And servants serve because they want to please their master. Tonight, I want to invite you to come forward this evening and become a servant of the Lord, to become a servant of God. I want to encourage you tonight to come forward and repent of your sins, confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, be baptized into Christ for the remission, the forgiveness of those sins, and go serve. Go serve. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done that. And maybe, just maybe, you see that you haven't been serving either at all, or the way you've been serving is with a wrong heart and a wrong mind. And those are not the best servants to serve. And we need to change our heart. And we need to get our lives right with God. So I want to encourage you tonight, if you feel you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward as together we stand and we sing.